Well, I see Dr. Richard Massey. I don't know why I see him right there. I don't know why I do. I see him. Oh.
Getting my first.
What's that?
Yeah, moving the furniture around.
Yeah, I understand, dude.
Let's see. Oh, should I put the fan over my head? It looks like an angel or something.
It looks kind of good. Looks like you got the... Yeah, I would move it over. Yeah. It's a little distracting. Even though, yeah. You know, you look good with things coming out of your head, but, you know.
There you go.
Can you see us? Let's see.
Yeah, I can see you. Yeah. Something good is going on, huh?
Something good going on. Well, thanks for stepping up. Yeah, I was going to... As you know, I sent you that email. We were going to do something anyway, and this turns out perfect because I could actually do this thing and pay attention to what the hell you were saying, which would be a novel concept.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. It's so great when there's all these technical things.
What a circus. What a circus that thing was. Jeez. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well. You're here now, right? You got your glasses on? I mean,
look, yeah, apparently so.
You just look so. check out your name thing here. Check it out.
Oh, real doctor, I like that.
What do you think? You like it? Yeah. That's so funny.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. I know. I come up with them every now and then.
Yeah. My mom would like that too.
I know she would. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I have my moments. All right, so let's see. I got to move over here.
I hear you.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Jelly Bean. I actually would like to be more over here. Let me see if I can reset this position a little bit. Layer one. I'm actually beginning to figure this thing out, which is really scary. Okay, look at this. You probably can't see it, huh? It's amazing. I mean, if you can get the software that works, it's like pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay, you ready to go?
Yeah, you think earplugs or no?
Well, I mean, it just depends. Why don't you?
For me.
Why don't you put them in and see what you like more and better?
Sure. I may have a nicer microphone.
I don't think it's going to. So. Oh, you have actually a microphone on that earplugs? No, I got nothing.
You got nothing? Okay, so I'll take them out. And did I make it disappear completely?
No, you're good. Right, you sound like, okay. Yeah,
okay.
We might work on it.
We're good.
So there's a microphone on that thing?
Yeah, on the little earplugs, there's a microphone.
Well, we probably have to work that out.
That's okay, so we'll just do this.
Yeah, so let's see. Let me make sure I got everything happening here. I got the stream thing streaming. We're going to record this for posterity so you can send it to your mom in the dream state. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, we are now streaming. And we will start the audio. And, streaming live. I guess that's all we need to do. Seems too simple. Something's wrong.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
It's really hilarious, Doc. It's like, if this is too simple, there's got to be something wrong here, right? Well, welcome back. We had kind of a change of plans. We were going to talk to Richard Mayberry, and then I discovered after about 20 minutes waiting for him to call that he's kind of scheduled for the last Wednesday. And Patrick, I had a junior moment. You know, I was back to when I was 12, and I noticed that there's five Wednesdays in July, and it's the fourth Wednesday. So what am I doing? You know, I'm sitting here like waiting for the girl to call, and she ain't calling. So I called called Dr. Massey on the fly because we were going to do something anyway because he had some great stuff. I guess it was, what, Monday, right? Monday? And but there were so many technical problems. I didn't even know what planet I was on. But you were really talking about some cool things, Dr. Richard Massey, Man About Town, Bon Vivant, MD. And you can see by his his title here, as you can see, he is a real doctor. He is a real doctor. Now, you tell folks what a real doctor means, because, you know, I just want to know.
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I was just thinking of Y.O. Longoria, the guy that runs Casa de Luz here in Austin.
Yeah.
He calls me the defrocked doc.
The defrocked doc. Oh.
Oh. I had my permit revoked. You were there.
I was there. You know? I was there. And I wanted to defend you. You know, I wanted to be like, you know, the guy, you know, who defended O.J. Simpson. But, nah, they didn't want me to talk so. Well.
I know. They didn't offer me any gloves to put on, you know.
Yeah, that's right. If the glove don't fit, don't quit. Or, what was the line he used? If the glove don't fit, quit, you know. So we should have got some, you know, we could have got some surgical gloves, right? If the glove don't fit,
I
quit. But we were late on that one.
How long ago? If we'd have just waited, we could have taken them in the alley, I think.
Yeah.
And you and the other people. Right. We could have taken them.
And I could have called my Uncle Tony, and he could have broke a few legs. So, you know what I'm saying? It would have been bad. You don't want to do that with Uncle Tony. Bad karma, man. You don't want me breaking judges' legs. No. It's bad karma. Whoa. No. Don't do that. Okay. So you had made a call to Stephen Jenkins, right? And Stephen Jenkins kind of looks at things in a really curious way. I think he's from another planet. Tell folks the conversation you had with Mr. Jenkins about my corona, or your corona, or our corona. I think it's everybody's corona. Let's call it our corona.
Everybody's corona. Yeah, so if people want to go look on orphanwisdom.com.
Orphan Wisdom.
That's his website.
Uh-huh.
And so he had a tour going with a musician called Gregory Hoskins. And it's called Nights of Grief and Mystery.
Hmm.
And it was sold out on four continents.
Whoa.
I mean, people really show for this. And it's poetry about the mysteries of life and about death, and about grieving. They tell you right up front, it's not a happy evening. And people just flock in to participate and be there. And at the end of the night, what ends up happening is this joy arises. You know, the word celebration, which we're all celebrating our origin story, whether we know it or not. The word celebration includes joy and grief together. It's both things.
Joy and grief together.
When a person participates in one, the other arises.
Hmm.
So they get this tremendous swell of joy at the end of the show, which has been all about grieving and the unknown and the uncertainties. So that was going on until COVID-19 shut down all the tour dates. So they weren't able to go anywhere. So what they've started doing is, you know, he's on a farm in Canada. He's a farmer now. He's a Harvard theologian and a hospice palliative care guy.
Wow.
In Toronto. But now he's a farmer on the Wanishare River, and he's got all these younger people who are learning the ways of culture, and they sit around and have these evenings of wondering. They wonder about things. And so you can see that on the website, orphanwisdom.com. It's called Stranger Days. And it's just those people wondering. So one of the things that one of the guys wondered about, because Stephen's big on ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen had made a quote in one of his books, and he asked the question, is Big Pharma becoming our ancestor?
Becoming our ancestor. Okay.
Yes. And so Stephen was wondering about that with this gentleman, and they went over that, and it was very profound. I mean, if anybody wanted to listen to that, it's pretty powerful, the wondering that goes on. Mm-hmm. So when we put this together with what Zach Bush and his virologist geneticist friend, who's on his team, says about COVID, COVID is just one of the many quadrillions of exosomes that mammals make. All of us mammals are connected. We love each other. We want each other to have the dated genetic information. We have a better chance to survive on the planet. So every human being's body is making exosomes and sharing them with everyone they come in contact with. They're sharing them with the dust particles in the air that'll circulate around the globe to all the other mammals in humans so that we can stay updated and ready for whatever changes are coming. It's a very loving service that our body makes these exosomes. Now, our military culture has turned these exosomes into deadly enemy viruses, and they're coming to get you. They're not coming to update you so you have a survival chance. They're coming to kill your butt. You know what I'm saying?
We make these exosomes to, because that's what, just what we do as mammals, mammalian things.
To update ourselves and to be ready for the new changes that are coming.
Oh, so we make exosomes thinking that as our evolutionary process. Okay. So the people doing this COVID thing, they turn these exosomes into our enemies. And this is what many people conjecture, Dr. Massey, that these tests are measuring. Right?
Right. And see, but this has been the way of North American culture all along. We've been, like, the word virus is not a biology term for humans. The word virus never meant a particle. The word virus, it means poison or venom or a ooze from a plant that's toxic. It never meant a particle that transmitted disease until the medical military-industrial complex got hold of the term and put that term supposed particle that's up to get us. So the word virus doesn't even mean anything originally. And so when we hear the word virus, the original meaning comes up in our mind. Poison. And we have a pushing back from anything when we hear the word virus. We don't want any part of it. And that's really tragic, because the particle is coming to give us an update.
Oh, I mean,
it's
because
to make us more,
because
more.
Viruses are really exosomes, and they're going to update our brain or our computer or hard drive.
Our DNA. Yeah, they're going to our DNA. That's why they contain little bits of genetic information and some amino acids and things like that. They're coming to give us an update, kind of like our computers do at night. You know, mm-hmm. They update a little bit, right?
Yeah, right.
But when we call them a virus, what's the innate biological response?
Oh,
it's
I don't want
to stay away from it.
Yeah, no.
It's venomous, right? Right? So how does that play into everybody being afraid of and / wanting vaccinations? You see, it fits. Because if I'm afraid of exposure, what's the other choice for me to feel safe?
Vaccine.
The other choice is to be vaccinated against this thing so that it can't come get me.
All right.
So once we call it a virus and buy into that, we're kind of stuck and headed toward forced vaccination. A lot of people actually want that. They think, wow, we can go outside and go to the restaurants again once we get our vaccination, you know? And all that's in the language. Calling something a virus.
So, where did didn't somebody start calling the viruses? virus. I mean, where did the word come from?
Yeah, if you look up on the etymological dictionary, you'll find out that it meant them for about 200 years before somebody got the idea of let's attach this to the idea of a particle causing disease, which is really convenient for polluting industries. You know, if people think that a little tiny particle is what's making them sick, rather than the millions of tons of pollution that are being put into the air and water, that's kind of nice for industry.
Hey, well, okay. So where do we go from here with this?
Yeah, so where we go from here is we want to pay attention to our language,
mm-hmm.
and how we talk about things. And we want to find out the question. I think it was Einstein who said the really big question, the only question of importance, is whether we live in a friendly or an unfriendly universe.
Albert said that, huh?
For me, Uncle Albert, you know.
Even though he was having a bad hair day, he said that.
So what do we really think? And so I would just encourage people to find people you resonate with. Like, I resonate with what Zach Bush is saying, Stephen Jenkinson, Satya Stone, Tom Cowan, Andrew Kaufman. All those guys, I can feel my body's happier when I listen.
When you listen to them. Right. So that would be like just your innate antennas, soul, or whatever you want to call it. You kind of know something is right. You kind of know it's
right. Yeah, and all the fear mongering stuff, like myself contract, you know, like a slug that just got salt put on him, you know, like, oh man, we got to get out of here. We're going to shrink away. This is scary stuff. All these fake numbers and all these people who will, you know, they're willing to talk about all the deaths, but none of them are willing to talk about solutions, which is a really strange thing since we have so many solutions for people who can't handle their genetic update smoothly. So, you know, I put out a few YouTubes about that, the ultraviolet IV, just to help people who aren't doing so well with their genetic update. They're right. Getting sick, maybe really sick, and it's easily reversible. And they can get their update and their light too, you know. What's wrong with the world like that?
Dr. Richard Massey is here. We have a kind of a show on the fly here that we're doing. With OneRadioNetwork.com. So the virus thing is... go ahead.
And the part that Sharon was interesting that she wanted you to get was the part about how we're always repeating our origin story on every level. I've studied a lot about the biology level, but Stephen Jenkinson studies the origin story on a cultural level. So what is the origin story of the American culture? The story of American culture, if things were so miserable in Europe and in England that many people sought to go through a disease-ridden, dangerous ride over to some place they had never been before. And when they did that, they left their old people that they loved, their parents, their grandparents, to die in the grief that they were able to escape.
Wow.
Now, that's never talked about.
First time hearing about it, other than Monday when I couldn't hear it.
Yeah. And when it's not talked about, it's to be repeated. So we're repeating that today by sequestering old people in nursing homes, and they are dying without any of their loved ones being able to come visit them.
And why are we repeating it? Why are we repeating it?
Because it longs to be healed.
Longs to be healed.
We can't just sweep something under the carpet and pretend it's going to go away. We need to come back and let it be healed and say, Yes, we live in a friendly universe. Yes, we can trust how everything works. I think we can't trust how everything works. It has to come back over and over and over again until we find a way to trust in the midst of anything and everything that happens.
So one could argue it's just God or Spirit's way of helping us to evolve spiritually.
It's definitely an update or an upgrade of some kind, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. With the idea
a lot of compassion.
Yeah, with the idea then that we get these diseases or roadblocks or bumps in the road for one reason only, how to navigate them. And in this case, you're saying that this part of this, our corona thing is we didn't get clear of a lot of stuff. So that's why we created this, so we could bring it up. Kind of?
Yes. Yes. An opportunity arising for us to make peace with what happened in the origin story mm-hmm. and to make peace with what's happening now. It'd be very healing for us as a culture to see this about ourselves and make peace with our ancestors and with those who are with us now as older people.
So it's actually... what's so fascinating to me is, you know, I'm really a karma guy. I really understand karma. But this adds an avenue to it where it gives people a methodology or a model or a pathway to understand that it's their karma.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, so for me, I just know everything's my karma. I don't care, really. I just say it's my karma, and I just let it go. But not everybody is in that situation. And you have people like yourself and Jenkins that are just great because you're helping other folks who think the whole idea of karma is crazy anyway, right? What are you, crazy, you know, mm-hmm. right? And this is really a pathway to look at it from that perspective.
Yes. And so any perspective that we're willing to really look at,
it doesn't matter,
is
right?
healing.
Yeah, anything, right?
Right. Yeah, pick your perspective. and so the discovery for Stephen was made in this cauldron where his feet were held to the fire in the hospice world for so many years. And what he discovered was a parallel between the fear of dying, which is almost unique with American. I mean, it's not a human to be afraid of dying,
right,
or aging. But if our story is the abandonment of aging and dying people, then there's going to be, when we reach that age and when we reach that place, we're going to feel alone, like everybody who cares about us is just going to watch us die and then hop in a boat and take off, as if our life doesn't have meaning. That's a lot of the root of the fear of aging. Is in that cultural origin story of North America.
Hmm. I'm getting a little bit of a cutout on your audio. How's your internet? Pretty cool. Can you close down any windows you might have? Do you have anything going on?
Sure.
Might help.
Yeah.
Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. I'm going to do a little break here. It's just cutting out a little bit, and I'm not sure why. Dr. Massey, but... we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and then we'll, I'm not sure. When you're doing things on the interweb that Al Gore invented, well, it could just be pretty much anything. Let's see, where am I here? Where's my little sulfur thing? Well, that's weird. It's weird. We'll do this one here. Previously on Open Phones, Brenda called from the Texas Panhandle.
My husband and I started taking the Wayne's Living Streams, and we just love it. It's remarkably helping us. I had been diagnosed with celiac disease over 5 years ago and struggled with that. And of course, I've been gluten-free and all, but it helps some, but you know, I'd still been taking different kinds of probiotics and everything, trying to get my intestines healed. But, I mean, within a couple of weeks, this Living Streams has helped me better than anything has.
Celiac, what have you experienced exactly?
I used to just feel so bloated and hard for my bowels to even move, you know, without taking something. And now then, it's just calmed all that bloating down, and I can go to the, you know, I haven't had to take anything to help go to the bathroom now in about 2 weeks.
Well, isn't that great with the multi-blend, the multi-blend?
Uh-huh.
It's a great story, huh? Living Streams Multi-Blend in our store, and there's different sizes to choose from. And we all appreciate your support. It's in our store, the Living Streams Multi-Blend, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Starving for vitality, we're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern-day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support. Improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in Miron glass, our elk antler is available in three strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
These are really cool products. If you'd like to check them out, just go to Sithrival on our website. OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to try some of the aloe, we have a great product. I don't think I have a picture for it, but that's okay. You don't need a picture. Many of you are listening on audio anyway, but it's really a lovely product, and give it a try sometime. Check it out. It would be in, all right on the front page, you'll see it there, aloe vera, and it's really nice. It comes in frozen. You pour it off in a glass and drink it up, and you can put it in your hair, your face. You just slop it all over your body. Great, great product that we don't talk about very often, but it's well worth your consideration. Stockton Aloe 1 on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
We're talking with Dr. Richard Massey. Would you do anything fun or do... Oh. Kind of in the dark there. What did you do different? Would you do anything? Change anything? Or?
No, not so much. I'll just wait and see if the technical winds shift.
Yeah, well, Mercury's still in retrograde. You got any more lights you can put on you a little bit? Anything?
I can. Okay. Sure. Yeah, let me open up
I don't know why the audio wants to be clip a little bit. Could be probably just on my end, you know. Sometimes the internet does funny things, but yeah, I suspect it is. You're doing the best you can. Well,
yes, in the universe, huh?
Whatever. So you're glad we don't take this thing too seriously, Doc. Boy, we'd be in big trouble. You know? I know. Our kidneys wouldn't be making it. You know, they would just be.
Yeah.
What kind of folks are you running into now, or do you've been doing some consultations, and what's the big thing that you're working with people on? Are people scared of what's going on out there?
Yeah. So, I sent you Stephanie's contact information again yesterday, and Monday night I saw one of the most family constellations I've ever seen.
Really. Wow.
And yesterday, people came in who had the same issue going on. And it was such a synchronicity that we spent 5 hours together. we just spent the whole afternoon discovering patterns and laughing and crying. It was great fun.
Wow, man.
It felt to be alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would just encourage people, if you have something serious going on, to think about doing a constellation by Zoom. We meet every Monday night, and you can watch it on your computer, and it'll be recorded. And some big energy will shift for you. I find great encouragement, but Monday night was really special. Something happened there that, I don't know, the world just felt brighter the next day.
Wow, so. That's really cool. And how do people get involved with that?
So you can go on healperception.com.
Healperception?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and which is what this is all about, you know.
And is it just on, are you all on Monday kind of night?
We meet every Monday. So you can show up in person if you live nearby, or you can show up on Zoom if you have a computer. We just watch some things shift and find out that it really is a friendly universe in spite of all the traumas.
Yeah, isn't it fascinating how everything out there, like the movie, you know, which is obviously the media, the big ones on print and internet, and I don't even know if they have real papers anymore. I guess it's just mostly internet and video. It's really selling the idea that it's not a friendly universe, right? That it's just not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go outside.
Yeah.
You got to wear a mask. I got to be 6 feet apart. Isn't that interesting? Karmically, how this is going on. Wow, man.
Yeah, and on a cultural level, you know, we look at our origin story once again. And the nobles, you know, they used to send thugs out to the taxpayers. You know, they didn't have the internet. You had to send actual thugs out there, you know, and hold you upside down and shake the last coins out of your pocket. All that stuff that people were trying to get away from when they came to the quote new world. And of course, because they judged that as evil and never got over that, they ended up coming over here and recreating the same situation.
So when you judge something as evil and you don't understand, I'm just doing my perspective here, you see what you think. So if we don't understand, even if it was 200 years ago, that whatever this evil was, that we had somehow created anyway. And we got a thing against the people who are perpetrating the evil, then it just keeps going, right?
Yeah, we keep subconsciously recreating it until we have a chance to embrace it with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the universe is friendly again and we see things differently. Our perception is healed.
Yeah. It's like the classic, what is it, family, what was it, the Hatfield and McCoys.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, they couldn't get over it because, I mean, great-great-great-granddaddy was shot by McCoy or Hatfield, right? And they just couldn't get over it. You know, they just kept it going generation after generation after generation. Until, yes. I guess one time, I guess somebody, either the Hatfield or McCoy, just gave up, right? Said, well, let's just forgive them because...
And I think one of the things that helped that happen was the Hatfield and McCoy fell in love with each other and had kids.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it. They crossed over the line, right? That little Hatfield.
And
little...
so now... If everybody's a breed, who do you kill, you know? I mean, I don't want to say the F word, but I've heard Ian say, we're going to have to screw our way out of this.
Oh, I see. That's the idea. Yeah.
That idea, you know, like Capulets and the Montagues, Romeo and Juliet, there's two ways cultures can interface that we've commonly used, and one of them is we can kill each other. We can have children together.
Right. I haven't seen a whole lot of IRS agents that are cute, though, for me, you know, with my tummy. So. to think about that one.
Yeah, we just had to recreate that, didn't we?
That's right. Yeah. But, I don't know if I told you, but I do remember I did have a dream experience, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, and I was running along the turrets, the castle, where the little ledge where you just kind of stick up from your chest on the castle, if you remember any past lives. And I was running along this turret thing, and I had this paper in my hand, and there were people down there screaming, and I was going, "We will not pay our taxes ever." So I woke up from that one and said, "Wow, okay, well, geez." No wonder I got all wind up with those boys and girls. Where? You go.
Yes.
So in that case...
So Stephen Jenkins...
But in that case, then we'll go back to Stephen. So in that case, then I didn't... I maybe left that lifetime and didn't really understand the karmic thing of the taxes, and maybe I left that lifetime angry and upset and whatever?
Yes. Yeah, so... when I judge the tax collector as bad, tax collectors are bad, taxes are bad. If I was in charge of the world, I would never do it that way.
No more
taxes. I'm better than y'all. Yeah, I would declare no more taxes, unlike you leeches. And when we have that kind of attitude, we invariably recreate it, the same situation again. Until it killed. It's okay to be free of taxes, but it's not okay to judge the tax collectors.
Say that
freedom
again.
Freedom doesn't have anything to do with judge, right? They can't be together. So when we have a war of independence, there is no, there cannot be war and independence. If I'm having war, I'm in judgment. In judgment, there is no independence. Independence is free of judgment. It means I'm a soul, and I realize that. I don't beef with anybody. I realize that they're sovereign souls as well.
Right. So when we're fighting,
if I have a beef with somebody else. Yeah.
So when we're fighting,
go ahead.
When we're fighting, well, what do you say when you? What do you mean when you say we're in judgment? We're judging ourselves and the other person for whatever we did in the past or something?
So you, tax collector, are bad.
Okay.
You're doing something that's bad. You're hurting me and my family, and you're doing it because you're bad.
Because you're bad.
And I'm the good guy here. I'm the victor, and you're the perpetrator. As long as I'm in the victim-perpetrator diet, I am not free. And everywhere I go in life, I will repeat and recreate that same victim-perpetrator scenario.
Till I get it.
Yeah, until somehow my heart gets opened and I go, oh man, this is life. And I'm sorry, my spouse, I've seen you as my perpetrator all these years. And, and really you're just a human being. I never saw that.
Yeah. Go ahead. So this would be an argument for all of the people, God love them, who are trying to find the truth of our corona, but are angry about it, right? And even though, even the ones that are maybe putting out what we, you and I and others, our listeners, would believe to be accurate, we have to be careful there, right? Otherwise, we're going to create more of it.
Right. Yeah. We're the ones who have the true person, and these other people don't, and they're out to hurt us, and they're out to vaccinate poison, and they're out to hurt us around like sheep because they're bad. And if we could draw their bad part,
yes,
if we could get free from that, we can see what's going on.
So it's all this thing about Fauci and Bill Gates and vaccines, and they're evil, and you see these headlines and the emails I get, they're evil. You're suggesting folks need to pay attention to that. be careful with that.
Yeah, pay attention to that. Yeah. And I'm taking a vaccination unless people hold me down. You know, I'm not volunteering for it. I think it's a really bad idea. I would rather be of service in my life and be exposed to all the exosomes that are circling the globe, that every human and mammal made, regardless of how we deem it and call it something else. I want my body to be of service, even if it's uncomfortable. I want my body to be of service. And I don't want to call what the divine made an evil or a bad thing. Because I'm going to get stuck recreating it, you know, till humility strikes me like a lightning, you know?
Yeah, I got you. So you like this idea that you carry, I sound like you carry with you, that the reason you even have a body is to be of some kind of a service.
Yes.
What else is there, right? I guess when you think about it, right?
Right. Because of our origin story, service has confused with being an unwilling servant. That's what formed our culture. A group of people who came over to this continent who had it in their hearts, we are not serving those sons of whatever anymore. We are not going to be a servant class anymore. That's wrong to have somebody ruling over us and taxing us and doing this and doing that. And so what do they do when they get here? Immediately begin to try to recruit everyone on the continent to be a taxpayer or a slave to them.
Same thing. All right. So
they created the same thing that they claim to have hated. And the origin story, you know, keeps that point of view alive that, oh, they were seeking freedom. Oh, they came over here to form something new. And that's exactly the opposite of what actually happened.
They came over here to
recreate the same terror and suffering that they escaped from. That's why they came. They didn't know it, maybe, but that's why they came, to find a whole new group of taxpayers and a whole new group of slaves.
Because that's what they did. So that would give an argument to the entity, what we call the United States, whatever that is, that has its own life cycle, origin story, right? And karma and everything. So all these different wars and stuff like that that the government gets into, it all plays out because it's in perfect motion where it is.
And we feel helpless subconsciously, collectively. We feel helpless to change this, partly because we haven't seen story clearly.
We haven't seen what?
We haven't seen our origin story clearly. See, we still run around and shoot fireworks on the 4th of July like war is what makes us free. I mean, we have that in our psyche, and that's exactly backwards reality. And as long as we hold to that story, we keep electing the lesser of two evils. I'm sure that's what was going on in the old, well, would you rather have Baron so-and-so or Duke so-and-so in charge of your land? Oh, okay, well, let's vote for the lesser of two evils. He beats us less and the taxes are a little less. But nobody's living the life they dreamed of. Nobody has any freedom. So finally, it gets so bad people escape from that. And what do? Here we find ourselves voting for the lesser of two evils once again. Not living our true destiny or our life with any sense of vigor. It's just trying to escape the worst of two evils.
Yeah. Fascinating, isn't it?
It's the real origin story, and we haven't told it yet.
But if you really look, you can find books and things that really talk about the real story, right? Like we've talked to a fellow about Civil War, and 50 years as an attorney, great researcher, really fascinating fellow, and he's got it all laid out and pretty well documented. For example, that the Civil War was about the bankers. You know, they went in 10 years before, and they did the whole Harriet Beecher Stowe and the, what was that book that caused so many problems? Do you know which one I mean? There was a book back then.
Yeah, Bankers and Tax Collectors, right?
That was about, but, you know, and so, so isn't it interesting that we have in our culture now this whole thing out there that it was all about, you know, tearing down statues and tearing down Robert E. Lee, who was actually an abolitionist, who was against slavery. And so they got the story kind of backwards, right? So isn't it fascinating? So what we see going on in our culture today. So does this mean that this is just going to replay itself again?
It seems in families, and I've watched this in families, and Stephen has been looking at it culturally, so you'd have to ask him about that, but in families, yes, things repeat generation after generation after generation. And one gets together and faces the truth of what went on in the family and embraces it and says, this is my origin story. I'm able to be alive even with this origin story. Even though I've spent a large part of my life repeating it and it's been a lot of suffering, I would not want any other origin than this one. Mm-hmm. And when a person can honestly say that, they're free.
I think there's a lot of evidence, and I certainly have anecdotal evidence talking to people and then spiritual people that I've read and trust, that we do in fact choose our families. We do. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Well, I can't prove it. So if that's correct, how does that play in and resonate with the whole work that you do as well?
So my friend Dan Beversdorf here in Austin, who is also a constellation facilitator and has written books on astrology, that we have something that we come into this life for, and we do it at the precise moment of where the constellations are in the sky, and we go into a family that's caught up in a certain dynamic. So it's to make sure that we get totally immersed and baptized and lost into what we came here to work with. So she sees it as all fitting together.
So that would give credence to the idea that we do, in fact, even though we didn't read the fine print, we do, in fact, choose our family, choose our mom and our dad, and then if we chose our mom and our dad, then we're already choosing our grandma and grandpa and great-grandpa, right?
Yeah, and remember you and I were joking the other day about the magnificence and excellence and efficiency of the recruiters on the other side to get us to think this is a good idea.
Well, they were clever, I tell you. Really, dude, you got to do this one, because if you don't, well, I don't know.
I mean, right, in basic training, you were in the Navy, I was in the force. In basic training, the muttering that was going on all in the barracks is, my recruiter promised me this, and this is what I'm getting, you know. Right. And everybody.
You guys didn't tell me about this because, you know, it's a little strange. Be talking about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and marching to breakfast for 2 hours, you know. The recruiter just left that part out. I don't understand.
Yeah.
God love him. Jeez. I was thinking we could do, you know, with your friend Stephanie, you know, once I get good at this, we could probably get three of us on together. Maybe we could do a real, rather than talk about it, we could actually have an experience. Could we do that?
I'm sure.
Is it possible to do a virtual thing?
Oh, I mean, we've given each other roles over the phone, you know,
like, yeah, really.
Should call and go, I have a role for you. Okay, you've got it now. How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just tell her how I'm feeling and what words are coming to me, and it'll turn out that it fit exactly what was going on with the other person she wanted to look at.
Yeah, it'd be fun to have folks be able to to really experience this work that I think is so valuable that you're doing.
Yeah, it's been good for me. You know, it seems like it takes a village. I mean, if I'm left with me, myself, and I don't know, it doesn't work out so well.
Well, you could always go back to the demon rum, dude. I mean, you know, there's always that option.
Yeah, add in a fourth player.
And a fourth player. What's his name? Well, Jim Beam is what his name is.
John Barleycorn.
Yeah, that's right. What's his name? Well, I think his name is Jim Beam. Yeah. No, I don't think you're going to do that. You call me before you do that, Doc, because I'll talk you down.
Okay.
I'll talk you down. You don't
You'll talk me off the edge of the castle, right?
I'll talk you off. Yeah, yeah. Boy, you just wonder. Yeah. I don't even know how we made it through the early years, you know, with the beer and all that. Holy cow. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, that we even made it?
Yeah, it is. Sure is.
Well, it just tells you how much stamina we really have. Wow.
Yeah, I like that Alberto Viotto, when he spoke about, you know, the sense of purpose and meaning and direction that hit at our conception and the pregnancy and the birth and the infancy. That's a good program until puberty. And if puberty, it's way past its use date. And so sustainable cultures actually have a village initiation at puberty where a person becomes independent from their parents.
Oh,
they will never be parents again. So that program loses its sway over the person and they stop trying to save mommy and daddy and actually get a chance to become adults.
Oh, yeah. I think
we don't do that in this culture.
Don't most spiritual paths and religions actually have something, don't they? I think in Catholic, don't they do, what do they do? Oh, confirmation, something like that? Baptism and confirmation?
But it seems like our real initiation, our culture, because we don't do that religious initiation puberty. We watch teenagers making a run at independence, but it's independence with resentment, which is kind of what we're talking about in our origin story of our culture. It was independence with resentment. It wasn't independence with the blessing of those we left behind, right? So at puberty, if we leave our parenting program model behind with respect, like we get spend some time in a cave and have a conversation with our true self and go join the men in the village and the women join the women in the village, then we can actually become loving adults and be of service. If not, our initiations come mainly through divorce, bankruptcy, accidents, terrible illnesses, and it's where the program just takes a beating until we finally realize one's not right here.
Okay, so that'd be a good thing for the moms with the teenagers is do whatever they can to help them when they get out on their own to go with grace and charm and kind of bowing backwards and not being resentful of the experience that they had, teenagers and whatever.
Sure. Yeah, like if I resent of my parents, I'm going to marry that person, you know? That's just how it works.
Yeah. Going to marry somebody just like that person.
You know, and I'm laughing now, but I've put a lot of tears in over that one. I did.
Well, I've done the marriage thing, so I'm just probably just gun shy. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, now there'll be something in there, you know, if you ever wanted to look at it. But, you know, with this kind of work, you never do it with happy people.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are happy, we don't do recall, we don't do constellations because people are happy. You should let people stay happy.
It's just going to, that's kind of stay happy. Yeah, that's right. What's that? What's that thing? The old adage of it: ain't, if you know ain't broke, or if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
What goes on before we go? What goes on with this idea of it seems like so many folks in our culture in the last 50 years get into relationships with the idea that they want to fix the other person?
Yeah. So if I want my mom to be different than she was,
if I want
to marry someone who's like my mother, and I'm going to try to make her different.
Oh.
Just like I wanted to be able to do with my mother.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Of course, it works great.
Yeah. That's interesting. So you find somebody like your mom or your dad, and then you try to change them to be the mom or dad that you wanted.
That you wanted, yeah.
Yeah. Folks, don't try this at home, folks. Don't try this at home.
Now, those would be some honest vows, wouldn't they, hanging at the marriage altar?
Right.
I've had to spend my life trying to turn you into the mother I always wanted.
That'd be great. The priest is just going, okay? I'm going to spend my life till death do us part trying to change you to the mom I'd never had. And all of a sudden the girl, that'd be a great movie. All of a sudden the girl turns around and runs away, you know? I think I'm going to use that in the screenplay. Thanks. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, you're
welcome. What do you think? Yeah. All right, kid. Well, this was fun and off-the-cuff thing, and I think we've just, you know, confused everybody, but hey.
Yeah, good.
Would you do me a favor, and we're just going to close out the show, stop recording the stream, but I'd like you to hold on because I want to check something, and it might be a good,
sure,
some information for me. Because your little voice was cutting out. I wanted to determine a couple of things and it might be help us to not have that happen again if I can decide, figure out why it happened. So can you hang right there a minute?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate you coming on short notice. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. I appreciate it. He's just a great guy and he's Richard Massey, MD. And like he said on his thing, he's a real doctor. So it was my screw up. I thought we were going to talk to Richard Mayberry, but he's on the last Wednesday of the month and not the fourth. And duh, there's five Wednesdays in July. So messed that one up. So I'm going to take tomorrow off. And we're getting this video down. We still got a little kinks here, little bumps, but it's going to be fine once we get rolling. And I think you'll have fun looking at the guest, and we're even thinking about doing, some debates with people on two sides of an issue. I also have an idea, and I know this seems crazy, but I think if you want to be around on Friday on open phones, I'm going to actually give you a way that you could, I don't know why I'm trying this, because not too many call anyway, just on the phone, but actually give you a way that you can click on a link and call in and you'll be on video on Open Phones email video Friday. I'll give you some options. And you know, there might be some brave people. It'd be fun to see people, wouldn't it? Whatever. So I think we can do that. So come back. We'll see you on Friday. Thanks to all of you for your ongoing support. And we appreciate all your comments and questions on our show. So I love you all very much. Thanks. We'll see you Friday morning, 9 o'clock. May the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.